butcher stew on both sides. Maybe Pastor Chris can come in too. Yes, I love sandwich. God of grace, Holy Spirit, who provides it all, we thank you for these, your children, who have reached a beautiful time of celebration, a sign of completion, and the joy and uncertainty of a new chapter ahead, that we know that it is only your Holy Spirit that has brought them safely thus far, and that it is your Holy Spirit that is guiding and weaving and directing them in this day. God, I pray from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet, they feel your presence in these days of uncertainty, and that they feel you beckoning them into their futures. Be with them as they transition and experience new faces. And God, I pray you surround them with a community of faithful folks to walk with them in their next phase as well. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Congratulations. Woo! And there's going to be cake to celebrate in the Hope Room afterwards. So, woo!
Yes. And we will continue celebrating next week as well, because Kevin will be here, Sujay will be here, and Nicole Asante will be here, having graduated from Emory. So we will continue to party next week and in celebration.
Let us now shift over to the prayers and concerns that Sid lifted up as such a joy and a central part of who we are. Are there any prayer concerns or questions that we'd like to bring before God this day?
Thank you all for your prayers for our friend Louie. I just wanted to update you that tests have shown that the lymphoma is not causing cancer in any of his organs or his bone marrow. So that's great news. Just keep praying, and he's got a long road of treatment ahead for his skin and lymph system. Thank you.
Hi. So Sam wanted to be here for this announcement, but he's in Kansas for a wedding. I just wanted to let everyone know that Sam recently got a job in California, so we will be moving there this summer. So next week is actually going to be his last Sunday here, and I'll be here through June to finish out the school year. But I just wanted to say that we've really enjoyed being at this church. We felt very welcome here. So thank you to everyone who made us feel welcome. And I could use prayers for just helping me find a good teaching job there. And I also want to say that we're having a moving sale next Saturday. So if anyone's interested, it'd be great. Thank you.
Continued prayers for Sam and our friend Sam, and also for Uncle Frank. Frank Federighi, my husband's uncle, who has pancreatic cancer.
It was a joy last weekend to go to Presbytery down in Connecticut, and then Gladys and Angie continued on, and we spent the weekend at the Presbyterian Center at Holmes, where my dad is the minister. So we were sad to miss Alfonso, but we got a taste of him at Presbytery, but he was really dynamic, and I'm glad you all got a taste of him last week. And it was a really great Presbytery meeting. So I wanted to lift that as a joy, but also being able to build relationships away from here. And I'd also like to ask prayers for my mom. This is her year anniversary of being sober, which that's a joy, but just continued prayers for her, and thank you for all of your prayers that you've offered through the year, and just prayers for everyone who struggles with any type of addiction.
I'm asking prayers for our church member, our mother, Helen, for her daily life living.
I'm asking the prayers for my junior brother, my immediate junior brother, who is down on mission back home in Ghana.
suffering from pneumonia.
What's his name?
Nicholas.
Nicholas.
My joy is that Sam and Kayla have been our Sunday school teachers for our middle schoolers this year. And, you know, to get real dedicated Christian teachers is such a joy always. And we will miss them. My concern is begin to pray now because we're going to need dedicated Christians who love 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And if you don't love them, they'll know it.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my friend Sandy, who just finished the first round of her chemotherapy treatment for breast cancer, is getting ready to start round 2, and then it's radiation and more surgery. So she's got a long road ahead of her, but she's doing well so far. And also a joy that our semester at Bryant University, you know, ended well. The students are in the middle of finals at this point. This coming week is senior week, and so prayers that senior week goes well and that the students behave well. And that everybody makes it to commencement next Saturday.
My son Sebastian had his court date on the 9th, and unfortunately the judge ruled against him, so he's going to be in segregation until the 24th of June, and then he's going to be transferred to maximum security until October. What's very surprising to me, since he's in segregation, the only way we have to communicate is letters, so there's these huge gaps in between. And I thought the next time I heard from him, he was going to be very upset and he was going to be angry. And I got this letter that was very uplifting.
Amen.
And I have to praise Pastor Chris for part of it, for and other people in this congregation for their faithfulness in writing to him and keeping his spirits up. And he's reading the Bible every day and he's doing other studies, and I was just absolutely shocked at his attitude. So, and his lawyer is going to continue on with him to the Supreme Court. I told him that financially I could not support another run at the court, and so he's going to arrange it so that he can be his pro bono lawyer, and he has been absolutely astounding. Carl Ritchie, and I'd like prayers for him.
I'm sure many of you heard on the news about the tragedy that occurred in Taunton this past week. And so I'd like prayers for the victims' families and everybody involved with that incident. And also to continue prayers for my colleague, Bob, who is in the last stage of his life with cancer, and for all people who are suffering from that disease, as well as for prayers for a cousin in Florida, Eunice, who has Parkinson's disease.
My parents, Anne and Pete, are traveling overseas for a few weeks, so prayers for them.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'd like to thank everybody here for your continuous prayers. Especially for my mother, who's been going through pain. And above all, she's doing well, but it's a chronic pain. We don't expect it to go away. Above all, I would like to thank God and everybody for all the blessings, great blessings that I have received this year. I've been blessed with two new granddaughters.
Amen.
this year, as well as a new daughter-in-law. So my son just got married, and that was in Nigeria. And I thank God for Johnny Macy's that I was able to attend to the wedding. Went and came back and also had the opportunity to see my mother. So I thank you all and I thank God for all this.
So I have a prayer of joy. We've been praying for my dad who had his bladder removed a couple months ago and he's now back home, actually a lot earlier than we thought. So thank you for your prayers for him.
And I'd like to pray for Melinda, who has not been feeling well for a little while now, just for her health and strength.
I'd like to ask for prayers of thanksgiving for my two younger granddaughters who were in a head-on crash when they were on their way to a school sports event. They could easily have been killed, but they weren't. The medical things that have happened as a result of this are going to take time, but they're not anywhere near what they might have been. Then also, ongoing prayers for our family friend, Monica Moto, with her stage 4 recurrence of cancer. And the family of Eunice Strobel, my 98-and-a-half-year-old friend, who are having a bad time. Joy for her life and how she was able to share it. I'll be forever enriched, as will at least one of my children who got to know her well.
I'm sorry his name's not coming to me at the moment, but before I came up here, I had a text from my ex-husband, and he taught for many years with this person as the head of the political science department at Providence College. He's had a massive stroke, and so I want to pray for his recovery.
I'd also like to lift up prayers in days of discernment and for our leadership here at the church and beyond. Amen.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Enter our lives, free us from all fears. Give us strength to carry on for the ministries to which you call us. We pray, O Lord, these days as we move into a new season of leadership and discernment, that you would guide us in your ways. Make us faithful to your call. We give thanks for your people who have served in leadership here and the nominees willing to serve. Bless them with your spirit and wisdom as they and we lead through these days. We give thanks for the blessing of children in our midst and youth in our midst and those who have come from the past to share with us, those who are moving in new directions. We thank you for Sam and Kayla and the impact they have made on our youth in this time, and pray for them as they move into new arenas and new jobs. We pray for ourselves as we seek to be faithful in leadership with our youth and teaching, in learning together, in sharing their lives. Bless us with your guidance in that direction. We pray, O Lord, for our world, for places touched by pain and despair, for struggle, for those places that are in the midst of wars and refugee crises. We pray for people who travel in the midst of that world, comings and goings. We give thanks for weddings in Nigeria, for Stephen's parents' opportunities to travel, and pray for your spirit as you minister to them in the midst of those travels. We pray for this community of faith with needs spoken and unspoken as seasons change, as transitions loom, and as challenges endure. Touch us with your grace. Empower us with hope. We pray for those who struggle with mental illness or addiction, even as we give thanks for Jenny's mom's anniversary. We pray knowing that those journeys continue. We pray for those in need of your continued healing power, for Tom Evans, for Louie, for Sam and Frank, for Helen, for Nicholas in Ghana, for Sandy and Bob, and Anne's cousin and Tony's colleague, for Melinda and Monica. You, O Lord, are the great physician, and you heal and touch in ways that we can scarcely imagine or even ask. We pray for those who grieve, of decisions of this week, for the strength that you continue to give Sebastian in these days beyond his strength. We thank you for those who have been ministering to him in this time and who continue to keep his case alive. We pray for the people of Taunton, for Eunice's family in these days. We pray your healing hand upon Ada's mother. Help us, O God, as well to see the joys and blessings of our lives together and in our families. As we celebrate today those graduates who have lived among us in community here, brought their gifts, and bring their prayers for us to continue to link with them, we give thanks for the time that they have had with us in their school years here. We pray for your energies to finish strong in this school year as students and teachers, and to reach toward meaningful summers wherever people find themselves. We give thanks for the Presbytery meeting and the energy of Reverend Johnson there and here last week, for the opportunity that Jenny had to share with Angie and Gladys the trip to Holmes, for relationships built. We thank you for Ada's blessings in this year, for the new daughter-in-law, for new granddaughters, for travels to be in the midst of all of that, and her presence back with us, for Matt's father home again, and for CJ's granddaughter's healing. Guide our steps, O God, through your spirit alone as we seek to breathe light and hope to a hurting world. In this we would pray and live through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Young worshipers, come forward. Anybody know what makes today kind of special? Yes.
Pentecost.
It's Pentecost! It is! And Pentecost is actually one of my favorite days of the church calendar. It's when we celebrate the arrival of the Holy Spirit, but it's also when we remember the story that happened a long time ago in the book of Genesis. And so I need y'all's help to kind of act out that story a little bit. So I need, let me pick some folks. Who wants to, anybody willing to help? Awesome. I need, oops. One, two, three, four. of you all to stand up there on that side of the cross, on the side of the cross that's furthest away. So four of you stay on that side, and eight, four more. Okay, one, two, three. Can I get one more person? Can you do it? Four, awesome! Okay, alrighty. Now in this story, something really cool happened. Now I have something for everybody else to do too. Anybody know what these are? What are they? Say it out loud.
Blocks.
They're blocks. Bricks. They're bricks. They look like bricks. And so what I want is in your teams of four to do your best to build the tallest tower that you can make. And then when I say freeze, you have to freeze, okay? All right, you guys got to work together. Working together as a team. Right? Sit. Don't. Wait a minute. Hold up. Now, before I say go, you have to promise not to hurt each other. Say, I promise.
I promise.
Not to.
Not to.
Hurt my friends. All right, okay, go ahead, start. Go. Work together, work together. As tall as you can get it. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, be careful. Knocked over your arrangement. Sorry, darling. I can't put it over to you. Yeah. I think it may need to be in a different place. It just needs to be dispersed better. I'm thinking. All right, and freeze. All right, let's see. Let's see how we do. Not bad. Stand up next to it. What happened? You cool? You'll be cool. You did? Okay, we got another step. So sometimes when we try to build, was it easy or hard to build it all together? It was hard, right? Well, guess what? In our story about the Tower of Babel, all of the people, they spoke the same language. Would it have been easier or harder if you guys couldn't understand each other? Would have been a lot harder, but they all spoke the same language like you did. And you were able to be somewhat successful, right? In a matter of minutes, you've got one, two, three, four, five, six layers over here, and one, two, three, four, these are taller, sit up on the side, about six, seven layers over here. So really good. Guess what? These people were building, and I mean everybody, was building this tower, and they built it, and it was almost up to the sky, and guess what God did? God was looking down like, look at these people. What do you think happened?
He mixed up the language.
Yeah, God said, you know, if they keep building, they may not know that they're not me. They kept building. They said, we're going to build this so tall that we're going to make a name for ourselves. And we'll be the people who built all the way up to the heavens. And God said, not so much. So he confused their language. It made it so everything kind of got not so easy to build. How do you think they felt?
Sad.
A little sad, maybe a little disappointed.
Confused.
Confused. Like, but we thought we had it all together and not so much. Got another story. I want you guys to go ahead and put those blocks back in the bucket. Now, I need y'all's help down here. Folks who did not, gentle, and once you've got the blocks in, I need you to sit crisscross applesauce. Crisscross applesauce. All right, you all are gonna help me with the second part of the story. Can you grab one of these? Can you grab one of these? And can I see you shake it? Can you shake these in the air? Can you shake them up? Can you shake them for me? How are you doing? So the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And have a couple. So I want to see you shake them high in the air so we can see them. So we can see when the Holy Spirit's moving. Up, 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 up in the air. Okay. And so I'll tell the second story. The Holy Spirit arrives on the day of Pentecost. It was 50 days after the beginning of the Passover. And people were scared and they were nervous. But God had promised, Jesus had promised, would send his very spirit to be with the people. And sure enough, it arrived, and there was this rushing wind and what looked like tongues of fire. Can you guys shake this in the air as this is fire? Woo! And guess what happened that day? Anybody knows what happened on the day of Pentecost?
The Holy Spirit came down in fire on their heads.
Yeah. And
could speak all the languages.
And they could speak all the languages. Is it easier or harder to communicate when we can talk, when we can understand? It's easier to communicate when we can understand each other, right?
Yeah.
Some of us know multiple languages. Raise your hand if you're in here and you know more than one language. It's pretty awesome. It helps you connect with people from different places, right? And that's what happened. These Galileans who should have only known a few languages, maybe Aramaic, they were all of a sudden able to speak in all different languages. And the people, because as the body of Christ, do amazing things. So, I need you all to help. You all are now going to get specific instructions. You need to work in your group again, okay? And can you help me read off their instructions? What do they need at the bottom?
Red.
Yeah, so can you all get four red blocks? Okay. Both teams, four red blocks. There should be enough. Nice, nice. So make that the bottom layer. Put that at the bottom of your tower. And what color that is?
Yellow.
So we want to see on top of the four. You can lay them flat. You don't have to, but you can lay them however. And try to put now three yellow. Can you put three yellow along with those four? Yeah, you can arrange them however you like. Nice. There's no more yellow?
No.
Oh, just do one apiece then. One yellow for each one. Nice. There we go. And next, let's do one blue. Can we get one blue on each?
One blue.
Work together. Use your communication. Use your words. And lastly, can you get two green? Are there two green per person, per group? Awesome. Now stand back. Let her see it. Now, each one of those is very different, right? Each group, we're listening to the directions that, can I see the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit can give some directions. You all were the Holy Spirit, and you helped to give those directions. And each one's different, but each one is what God made available to them when they followed those rules and followed those guidelines. And it's beautiful, right? They did a good job. So can they get a hand of applause? Woo! Go ahead and put the rest of the blocks back in the bin and come on over. We're going to pray together. And those who did not get a ribbon, if you'd like one, feel free to grab one. Come on down. Let's get together. And let us pray. God, we thank you for the ways in which you guide us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us direction and allows us to build more with each other than we ever could by ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all have a good time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So first I have to apologize in advance. I've been battling this cold and a cough for a while, so if I'm a little stuffy and hard to understand, sorry about that. No, but let's hear it for Sudafed cough drops. It's keeping me functional. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today, and please open our hearts and our minds so that we can hear and understand your holy word this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So our Old Testament lesson is from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. It's on page 8 in the Pew Bible, page 10 on the large print Bible. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. The New Testament lesson is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Good morning. I am really excited about this day. It was a rough morning, but there's something about worship on Pentecost that always enlivens my being. Pentecost and World Communion are my favorite Sundays in the Christian calendar. Yes, even more than Easter and Christmas, probably because they're less commercialized, but mostly because they name the power of the Holy Spirit to call together the church around the world, to call together the church from our very different settings. I was reminded when I went on Thursday in search of a Pentecost bulletin cover of something that I kind of had forgotten, however, about how the rest of the world sees Pentecost Sunday. So I went searching multiple of our big Christian stores in the area. First, I found First Communion, not Pentecost. Then MLK Junior Sunday, not Pentecost. Father's Day, Mother's Day, graduation, Pastor Appreciation Day, but not a single bulletin cover to pick up and go out the door with for Pentecost. It was, for a moment, a bit frustrating. I told Dan, I'm going to find this, right? Don't worry about printing something on the front, we thought. Kirk even went with me as we scoured row by row by row by row, but none we found. And I suspect that's a bit of a reflection on how we see or struggle to see the Holy Spirit in our lives too, amen? That even a store that is dedicated, multiple stores that are dedicated to Christian living, well, they in some small way have significantly overlooked the Holy Spirit. In some ways, I'm not surprised, because our minds, in many senses, are images. We work with images when we recall things, and sure enough, in the Trinity, we can relate and see the idea of a father, right? Whether we have them in our families that are close or just in our relationships with the world, somebody says, Father, and there's an image that comes to mind. Same thing with son. Even more than father, half of our world considers themselves sons. But Holy Spirit, typically when we talk about spirits or Holy Ghost or ghosts, we don't do so in the friendliest of terms, amen? We literally struggle to see and feel. But there are some of us who indeed see and feel and experience the Holy Spirit in lots of ways. But I know that that can be a struggle for many people. And that if you have the gift of sensing the Holy Spirit, it is only by God's grace and it is gift alone. So like on Thursday, I was surprised but yet unsurprised when the Holy Spirit does its ever creative and recreative thing and dropped the gift of a thought, a gift of a vision sprang forth. I remember that I had this friend of mine named Lyle. She actually was painting at the presbytery meeting last week. And I remember she'd sent out this email and this thing project she's working on called Sanctified Art. And there was this really beautiful coloring page. So seeing her last week, gift of the Holy Spirit, sparked this thought this week, gift of the Holy Spirit, and it is outpoured in the bulletin cover that we have this day. So that's what we have, this bulletin cover that you are indeed invited to color. If you do it while I preach, I promise not to be offended. You'll even notice that there are markers and coloring pencils in the pews, and if you need more, there's more in the hallway. You're invited to color now or color later in a time of meditation and reflection on the Holy Spirit's presence in your life and in the world. I loved that. That feeling of there was nothing and now there is something. Amen. I love when the Holy Spirit shows up in ways that are beyond what I could calculate for myself. It is usually, particularly when things are not going how I had hoped for, that the Holy Spirit shows up the most. Amen? It's when I don't know how to move forward, that it has a way of calling and putting things together. That's a huge part of why I love Luke's account in the book of Acts of the day of Pentecost. Pentecost, literally the 50th day from the start of the Passover evening. The 50th day after Jesus would have broken bread and foretold of his own saving death. We have this story. We find in the followers of Jesus, and they have been gathered into one place, according to Luke. And then what is incalculable happens. The extraordinary occurs. The promise is fulfilled. The God who created the heavens and the earth comes in the form of tongues of fire and lights above the heads of the faithful. And they are given the ability to speak in languages beyond their own ability. They had not studied for the Greek exam. They were able to communicate with others who would have and could have only been seen as strangers and foreigners. Folks from other strange lands, other foreign lands. This is an important implication for our Christian response to these days in which division and fear-mongering and prejudice, oftentimes driven by some weird nostalgia, leaves us told to only fear the strange and the foreign voices amongst us. In our national politics, as well as in this city and in this metro, we do this unconsciously and sometimes consciously when it comes to who we expect to be at certain places. Who do we expect to live on the west side? Who do we expect to live on the east side? Who do we expect to live in Barrington or Central Falls? What are the expectations of division and cultural differences? Well, what are they truly based upon? When I look at this Pentecost story, we're given vision for something different than how we are conditioned to respond in our day-to-day. Amen? Pentecost. And this spiritual return that we do year after year to this particular narrative, well, it requires that we see difference and we see language and we see culture not as something to divide us, but as something that God enables us to overcome in order to be and proclaim the good news of Christ. Pentecost is a direct counterbalance to what God intentionally confused in Genesis 11's passage about the Tower of Babel. God, in this prehistory account, mixes up the languages for the people's own protection, for self-differentiation from who God is, from God who tells them, after overhearing them, say, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower to the heavens, and let us make for ourselves a name." God overheard them speaking, and God wanted them to know and wants us to know that we are not God. Amen? So easy it is to want to build for ourselves a name. To be able to say, "I did that." That is not what God is calling us to. That's not what we get in the Pentecost story. And it's not what God is saying for us in this Tower of Babel story. We learn from the scripture that the works of our hand will not bring us to a place of being God. That we can't work our way or build our way to the heavens. We need God. We need God in order to truly know our very purposes, our very callings, our very selves. Amen? Amen? We see this all around us, particularly in the forms of violence and violations that we do to each other for the sake of making a name for ourselves. Violence and violations in our homes. Violence and violations in our malls. Violence and violations in our streets. Violence and violations in our political systems around this world. We need God. We find this violence and violation in our workspaces and in our schools. This Tower of Babel thinking. It's a key part of our brokenness and our struggles to be the people of God. We continue to try and build a name for ourselves. Clearly, we need God. Amen? We need God in the crevices of our lives. We need the Prince of Peace to reign. We need hope for the sake of our hearts, for the sake of our minds, and for the sake of our spirits. And praise be to God that in the person of Jesus, we are given that kind of hope that can overcome these violences and these violations. Jesus, as he ascended into heaven, spoke to the faithful ones who were below. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about ascension. And he promises them to send his very spirit as an advocate, as the paraclete, as the comforter, as the guide, and as the corrector. On the 50th day on that Pentecost, the Holy Spirit shows up and God outpoured God's very self on God's people, and those that were there were gathered to do exceedingly and abundantly more than they could have ever imagined. Don't ask me to speak Russian right now. You can ask Sid though. That's more than I could imagine. They were able to then share the gospel, that great good news, to those who would have been only seen as strangers and foreigners. They were able to, as Reverend Johnson mentioned last year, be in the gap because of who God was. There was a gap in communication. There was a gap in life experiences. There was a gap in social connection. There was a gap in cultural nuances. But there was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, all of that rich diversity was not overlooked. Note that we didn't have a reversal of the Tower of Babel, that all of a sudden now again spoke one language. But God held our diversity and caused us to be able to go beyond. But deeply engaged, they were able to proclaim the great good news of Jesus Christ even to the ends of the earth. God enables us to speak. It's only by God's grace that we are ever able to speak truth or love or hope. And sometimes these words of liberation are received with joy and sometimes with trepidation. But trusting in the one who has created us, frees us, and sustains us by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can speak. God gives us unique combinations of languages in this day. Some of us, as we raised our hands earlier, mentioned that you speak other cultural spoken languages. Can you shout out a few that you speak? Russian, French, slow down, I want to catch them. Russian, French, Spanish, Tree, Ghanan, Ga, Ewe, Arabic, Arabic. Amen. We are a gifted community gathered together in this place. Now, aside from cultural languages, many of us speak other languages, whether it's music. Anybody here speak the language of music? I know we have musicians. Music is its own language, correct? How about the language of, say it again? The arts, the language of the arts. So maybe the visual arts. Huh? Hugs? Art? Acting. acting. Sorry. So drama, acting? Yes. So drama and acting are language. Economics is a language that most of us back away from very carefully. And we are thankful for those in our midst who find joy in those spaces. God gives us all of these languages, empowers us to use them. They're there to overcome barriers that otherwise might exist. I want to share with you an experience of this overcoming of barriers and a small time in my life. When I witnessed God gathering the faithful into one place, spoke to us, and then empowered us and sent us forth to share the great good news. This too was inspired by my conversation with Lyle last week. So, I have this experience. I have this experience while I'm in seminary. And we arrived on June 30th with the expectation and started Greek school on July 5th. And it was Kirk and a 1.5-year-old Soraya with 2 loaded down, barely driving cars, no furniture. And we arrived to the village housing, which was the family housing on our campus. And these people greeted us. Mary and Sheldon. And at the time, their 2.5-year-old daughter, Maya. Mary, well, she took care of a lot of the kids in the community, and she was our next door neighbor. Strangely enough, we had come from the same state. Sheldon had even grown up in Tampa, which is like the next city over. But we met as strangers in this space where we had both been lifted up and taken. Mary and I would knock on each other's door with baked goods or treats that we had cooked, or just for hugs. We were both newer first-time moms. And it was amazing to have somebody walk with you when you couldn't figure out, so why is my kid crying? Has yours done this before? Because this just seems weird. Because of the Holy Spirit showing up, we were able to pray to God through the language of hospitality, the language of caring for another sister. Sheldon was quite hospitable on his own right and was the TA of the strongest Koine Greek student on campus. So it was really great having him as a neighbor. So a month into Greek school, when I thought that my head would explode with participles and declensions, he offered to tutor me for free. He gave me a hug when tears fell from a combination of fatigue, lack of confidence in what he told me and showed that I actually knew, and the start of this new life as a seminarian and as a mother, and still early as a wife. Because of the Holy Spirit showing up, we were literally able to pray to God and for each other in the language of Koine Greek, but also in the language of friendship and vulnerability. Another couple of people I'd like to introduce you to is John Pike and his wife, Shanae, both immigrants from Korea, here pictured with their son, Kevin. When I was in leadership for the African Heritage Seminarians Association, I had this vision to have a meaningful relationship with the Asian Student Association on campus and the African Heritage Student Association. John was the president of ASA and a true brother in the faith. So I shared this vision, and we prayed about it. And about a week later, he and I and Shanae, along with some other leaders, had come up with this plan. We organized the very first student-organized community-wide Thanksgiving dinner called Seoul to Seoul. That's S-E-O-U-L, the city in Korea, to Seoul. A celebration of God and comfort foods. Amen. We had an amazing meal of gimbap, which is like Korean rolls similar to sushi, collard greens, macaroni cheese, brownies, all types of yummy things. It was a beautiful, bountiful feast, a glimpse of the kingdom when we looked at all of the international students who felt comfortable, professors who felt comfortable, custodial staff who felt comfortable, vice presidents and administration who felt comfortable
to dine together. Alongside John, Shinne created a legacy that continues. They continue to do soul to soul even after we've both graduated. And it seeded new relationships at the seminary. So when Shinne, while pregnant with their second child, was infected with a deadly supervirus that those seeds that had blossomed years before, where they bloomed in a community coming together across the country and across the world with prayers. Kirk and I were blessed to be in the number of believers who prayed day in to day out on a 24-hour cycle, even when things really did not look good. And although Shinne and John lost that child, as well as several of her appendages, she is alive and is a beautiful witness and testament to God's deep and abiding grace. Because of the Holy Spirit showing up, we prayed to God and for each other through the language of beautiful food and hope in the midst of tragedy. I'd like to introduce someone else. Here's my sister, Sally Ann. Mackenzie and I, doing what I love to do the most in the world, worshiping God with the whole of my being through dance. Sally Ann is an amazingly gifted artist, and together we entered seminary on the same first day and graduated on the same day together. And in the midst, struggled and wrestled with finding our pastoral voices. We shared our experiences of feeling insecure and uncertain for, does the church have a place for us? We shared and reflected on difficult theological concepts and realities. And because the Holy Spirit showed up, we prayed to God and with each other through the language of dance and theology. Amen. I have two more people I'd like to introduce you to in this season, although there were many. Here is my sister and classmate and second mom to Kirk and I. She is the Reverend Dr. Karen Stevenson. She was a medical doctor in psychiatry, an accomplished flautist, an army officer, a Pentecostal minister before she ever stepped into the seminary class. She is an abundantly gifted woman. She came to CTS not because she had to, because in her Pentecostal tradition, an MDiv is not required. Not because it was her tradition, because she thought she was supposed to, because others did it before her, but simply because the Holy Spirit had guided her and directed her to do it. She was and continues to be a prayer warrior in the trenches of our lives and has connected me with more friendly colleagues in Rhode Island from Atlanta than any other person. She is a person who speaks life to those who feel overlooked. And while we have very different political and societal views, I had some of the most important, transformative, and theological prayerful conversations with this woman. She grounds me in the importance of loving those who are across political lines, across value lines. Because the Holy Spirit showed up, we were able to pray to God and for each other in the language of the Holy Spirit's power to connect beyond any divisions, to be driven by love and exchanges of wisdom and hope. Lastly, I'd like to introduce a woman I've talked about a couple times. This is Lyle Gwen Garrity, and in the corner is Jenny Smanick. This is from the workshop last week at the Presbytery. She is my pastorist friend, is what she calls herself. It is a combination of a pastor and an artist. Lyle, who, like Sally Ann, is a trained visual artist, was inspirational to me understanding as a worship leader and as a Christian, that all of the things within me have a space before God. We helped our professor, Kim Long, form a class just on that conversation of worship and the arts. And Lyle was super supportive and Keeley for influential in the creation of the space, which was the sanctuary and is the sanctuary of prayer, art, and creative expression, which is a physical manifestation of my honors project. She shared that gift with the presbytery this past week by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of the Holy Spirit's power continues to show up, we too today, along with everyone who is gathered in this space,